way we can be thankful.
Yes.
Like one songwriter was saying, I can be glad because my hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. I can be glad. I don't have to look at the craziness in the world. I can look at my master and my savior. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. So we're not going to prolong the time. We're going to go right ahead because we do have another service. Just want to welcome again the visitors who are here.
Amen.
It is a blessing for you to be with us today. Amen. And we are blessed to have you in our presence.
Yes.
We pray you will return. Amen.
Amen.
You join up with us. Amen. Because you are certainly welcome here at St. Timothy. Amen.
Oh, yes, you are.
So we're going to read just a few verses today. It was one set from the Old Covenant, just a few, from the book of Ezra, chapter number 7. If you have a handout, that will be on your handout. Otherwise, it is Ezra chapter 7, and we'll be reading verses 8 to 10 from the KJV, which is the King James Version, and also the New Testament from the Gospel according to St. Luke, Dr. Luke, as we like to call him, in chapter 10, the 21st through 24th verses. So read with me, if you would, from Ezra chapter 7, starting in verse 8. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Amen. That is from the book of Ezra, the Old Covenant to the people of God. May God bless the hearing of his holy word. And let us read Luke 10 and 21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and he whom the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have one more. You're right. Verse 24. Let's read that together. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the New Testament to the people of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we want to speak on the subject of becoming the best for Christ. Amen. Let us read. Let us pray. My brain is spinning 100 miles an hour. But let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for just giving us an atmosphere that we can come in, Father, and just experience the presence of your Holy Spirit among us, Father. We thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this St. Timothy family, Lord. It has been faithful to serve you. Father, we just thank you for all the visitors. We thank you for everything, oh God, because you said that you would look over us and you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, right now we need you to get a clear understanding of your word, Father. We call on you right now, Lord God, that you would let this one decrease and let yourself increase in order that the word might be heard and your people might be blessed.
Yes.
Father, we give you the honor and the glory. We ask all this to the praise of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And it's in his name that we pray. And church, say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Becoming the best for Christ.
Right.
Amen. That should be our goal in life.
Right.
We should be thinking in that way about everything that we do. Because
right.
If you're thinking about becoming the best for Christ, it's going to make you do some things different.
All right. Amen.
It's going to make you act a little different.
Yeah.
It's going to make you change some things in your life.
Yes.
Amen. It's going to bring you to an understanding of many things, because the Bible says this, and you know this, all you Bible scholars, we got a few here. He said that, God, he what does he do to those who diligently seek him? He rewards those. I knew somebody was going to know this. He is a rewarder.
Oh, yes, he is.
Of the ones who diligently seek him.
Yes,
that means not just half-hearted people who I'm going to show up every now and then and, you know, I'm going to do a little something over here, a little something over there, but I'm not going to just be constantly thinking about. No. He said he is a rewarder.
Yes, he is.
Of those who diligently seek him.
Yes, I know that.
The diligent seeker has a promise from God that he will reward you.
Yes.
So that should in turn, if we really want to maximize what that means for us, then we want to be diligent seekers.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't want to be half-hearted about this thing. We want to pour in our whole heart,
yes,
our whole mind,
everything,
our whole soul, our whole body,
yes,
everything.
Yeah.
Give cash it all in for and trust God to do what
trust
he said.
Yes.
And I want you just to see a snapshot here. This is the reason why we picked up our friend Ezra, which we don't hear a lot about Ezra in the church much these days. But Ezra was a very wonderful person to look at, somebody who wanted to be the very best they could be for Christ. Now, you know, when we apply this to the Old Testament, somebody says, well, Christ was in the New Testament. Well, you know what? He was. But he was promised in the Old Testament.
That's right.
And those who were in Israel and really believing what God said, they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. So they understood Messiah is the one who God promised, and he's coming and he's going to fix all this mess. When you look around and see the mess in the world, the promise that came right at the minute the sin entered the world, and it was that Messiah, the seed of the woman, is going to come in and straighten out all this mess and restore everything back to man and to God. And I say to man because a lot, we lost a lot when man went into sin. There was a lot lost. But when Jesus came, he made the breach, he filled it in and made everything necessary to bring us back to God in 100% good standing. And so this man Ezra, he was one of those kind of guys. He was diligent. He was described as not only a priest, but he was also a prophet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here it says here, notice this is happening after Israel has been disobedient as a nation. I'll just give you some of the background here. Babylon had taken them into captivity.
Yeah.
And they were about to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, Ezra came to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Jerusalem lately in the news, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so the Jews, and this is not the only time the Jews have been out of the land and had to come back to the land. Here's another example of it right here.
Amen.
Ezra said, and then he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which is the seventh year of the king. Notice that's the seventh year of the Gentile king.
Mm-hmm.
For upon the first day of the month began he to go up from Babylon. That's where they were taken into captivity.
Yep.
And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm,
according to the good hand of his God,
yeah,
upon him. So when the Jews have been chastised, which is what happened, because they didn't obey God, they didn't have that close relationship with God, they fell away, they got into their own selves, they got into seeing what the world is doing, and oh, it looks like the world's really living it up. And we're missing out on something. Yo, that's an illusion, people.
Yes, it is. Amen.
That's an illusion.
Illusion.
Don't let that trick you. Somebody say, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Y'all know about that. That's an illusion. Just because it looks like it's fun. Oh, they party and they kicking it. They having a good time. But you know what? It's a short part.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to end in destruction.
Yes, it is.
If they don't turn around. But the world is deceived.
Yes, it is.
And it's very easy to be deceived and get off the program. Because there's so much going around. Looks like the wicked are having fun.
Yes, it does.
When you look at them, oh, they look like they're having fun. We might even look back and say, you know, I remember when I used to do that.
Because
yep. Oh, yeah. We did. We ain't sitting up in here now. I know I'm not the only one up in here. We know how it was.
Yep.
But were you really happy?
No. Nope.
You know what? I found out I wasn't happy at all.
No,
when the whole deal went down, I was in slavery.
That's right.
My circumstances were running me.
Yep.
Right.
That's true.
I wasn't in charge of anything.
Say that, Jeff.
And if your circumstances are running you, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
See? But you know what? God gives us every good thing to enjoy. The Bible says every good and perfect gift came down from above. From the Father of lights.
Yes!
And whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes, in other words.
Never!
And he blessed me with every good thing. You know what? And don't get mad. Now, you know, sometimes church folk get mad when you say stuff like this, but I'm going to have to say it.
Say it!
God blesses everyone.
Everyone.
He wants those lost people who he's supplying them all they have. He's giving them sight, giving them a job.
Yep.
They're giving them a car, giving them finances. They got money, and they get it, and they just don't use it for his glory.
That's it.
That's the only thing that's different. It's not that God didn't give it to them.
All right.
Sometimes we look at them and we get jealous. Well, look at that wedding. How they rolling over there? Riding in Ferraris and all kinds of different kinds of fancy stuff, you know. Are they interested in the Lord? I don't know. You know, other folks around here riding around, got so many gold chains at them. But we wonder, are they really kicking it? Are they really enjoying it? And we see all that. We get hung up in the razzmatazz.
Yep.
You see? But God gave them whatever they have.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
They just don't thank him for it.
That's it.
They don't praise him for it.
That's right.
They act like he's not there. I'm doing this over here, and that's how people behave.
Yep.
When the people of God saw it, think about this. We had this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. God, when he brought his children out of Egypt, he started to feed them with bread and water.
Mm-hmm.
Bread and water? They said, oh, wow, we eating bread and water? And over in Egypt, they had onions and melons and leeks and garlic and flesh pots. All we was kicking, they was kicking it over there. And you brought us out here to give us bread and water. What you trying to do, Moses? Starve us with death? It went word to God that we had just been back in the land of Egypt. They wanted to go back. But God was showing them, I'm showing you a better way. The scripture says God did that, so today we learn that man does not live by bread alone.
That's right.
But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to get you somewhere you've never been before.
Model!
And if you just walk with me, you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes we want an instant gratification for something. But if I don't get it right now, and God may want you to wait.
That's right.
And if he does, you know what? You need to wait. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Trust him. Keep walking with him. He said, I got you covered in every area in your life. If you trust in me. And I'm going to do this on my time factor. Ezra knew that. So he understood, okay, God, you chastised the whole nation because they got hung up in worldly stuff. And now you're letting us go back. You're giving us the grace to come back to Jerusalem, which was the place he put there and blessed for his own name, the place of worship.
Yeah.
No matter where you were, if you were a Jew, you were supposed to come back to Jerusalem three times a year and visit that city. That's why it's in the news today.
Yeah.
We were looking at this in Bible study on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
70 exact years from the time Israel got back in the land until the announcement was made by our current president that Jerusalem will now be the capital once again of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the people making that announcement didn't know? It was 70 years exactly from the time they came back. They didn't care. But it was written in God's word that his people would come back in 70 years. And here's another tidbit. Jesus prophesied when the first, that second temple, which was there when he was here, was destroyed in 70 AD.
That's right.
Wow.
70.
Wow.
Once again. In 70 AD, he told them there will not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He told them that before he was crucified.
He told them.
And buried and rose. Then he was about 33 when he was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 30 some odd years after that, they dismantled the temple stone by stone.
That's right.
Took it down. They set it on fire. And the reason they didn't leave one stone on another is there was so much gold in the temple, it melted in the fire. And they were turning over the stones to get the gold.
Yeah.
And there's not been a Jewish temple there since.
and Israel was scattered. The church even got scattered.
Yep.
Back at that time, but it was exactly 70 AD.
Wow.
And now it's 70 years since 1948 when Israel went back into the land.
Yeah.
So now we're backing up to the time before that, when before that temple that was there in 70 AD was destroyed. This was the first temple that Solomon built that had been destroyed. Ezra is now coming back to go back to Jerusalem after they're being restored after the Babylonian captivity. So I wanted to give you a time frame for this part of the scripture. The time frame is less important than the person. That's what I want to say to you.
Oh, yes.
The people are the same.
Yeah.
You and I are the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
The circumstances, they may change.
Mm-hmm.
But Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So what we want to do is see the attitude of this person who saw the temple get destroyed. God allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it because he was chastising his people because they were abusing his temple.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing right. They weren't bringing their best sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They brought God the scrap and the lame and the maimed cattle and all that to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bring their best. Their heart was not right with God.
Mm-hmm.
See, God said, bring me the firstling, the best of your flock. And they were saying, okay, here's one over here. He already blind and got a broke leg. Let's take him.
Mm.
Instead of giving God their best. So how can we become the best for Christ? They had to be chastised because they gave God their worst.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? Take that to your governor. See, can you pay your taxes with it?
Mm-hmm.
Will he be happy with you? That's what he asked him. And the answer, of course, is no, he wouldn't. See, he wouldn't even accept it. He wouldn't try to pull that on the IRS. I'm going to give you the destroyed property over here, but I'm going to keep all the good stuff. No, that wouldn't work, would it? So here it is. He's coming back. Temple's been destroyed. He's got permission to come back to Jerusalem. And always going back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a significant place for the people of God. And it came at an exact time here because the good hand of his God, it says, was upon him. Now God will keep his hand on you. He will guide you in everything you have to do. You don't have to worry about a thing. It might not look, you know what Ezra was probably thinking, boy, this is a whack situation here. Going back up here where it's a demolished building for me to go back there and your people been scattered and they all been disobedient to the point that you chastise them like that. This could look like a very whack situation. You know, but he went because the good hand of his God was upon him. Now here's what I want you to really tune in on, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. He didn't just seek it. Some people study just so they can say, oh, look what I know. I'm waxing eloquent in the word of God. But I have no intention of doing it. My heart is not in it. It says here, but he had purposed in his heart. He prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it. Notice this, and to teach in Israel the statutes and the judgments. We got to get it right, people. That's what he was saying. Let me teach you what it really means, not what you thought it meant. We really got to get in this word. And when we do, he knows God's going to bless him. He understood my circumstances and my difficulties. God is chastising us. We don't want to hear that. You won't hear that much in the church if God gives you a spanking. What happens when your kid gets out of line, some of you parents? You spank them. Are you trying to kill them? No. They think you are. Oh, you're trying to kill me. No, but you're not trying to kill them. You just want to straighten them up because you know what's best for them. You know what's right. You know what they need. You know, if I got to stop you from running out in the street because the car is going to kill you. If I don't do something, I'm going to let you know that's serious.
Right.
You see, so that's all it is, chastisement. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Why? Because it's for your good. It's for your benefit. If you endure chastening, then you know you are a son.
Amen.
Or a daughter. That you belong to me and I care for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't chasten you, then you are not. I'm not going to tell you what the King James says right there. King James says, are you not bastards if God is not chastening you?
Mm-hmm.
See? And so basically God chastens the people he loves. Because
mm-hmm.
he wants us to do the right thing.
Yes.
So he can bless us even more than what we think.
Amen.
And give us a blessing we don't even have room to contain it, the Bible says, when we do the right thing. So Ezra did this. He had to do it. I'm going to ask you today, this is what we have to do. Prepare our
our hearts.
Right.
To receive. You know, we're in a critical time in history right now.
Oh, yes,
I honestly believe it. But you know, the people who are doing that stuff, calling Jerusalem the capital again, they don't know the Bible says you're going to do that. And they're not doing it because the Bible said it.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because they think it's going to give them some kind of a favor.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize everything they're doing. Just like the people who crucified Jesus, they were doing what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know the Bible said you're going to crucify Jesus.
Right.
See? And they were doing what they wanted. They had that evil in their heart. They meant it for bad, but guess what?
Yeah.
God meant it for good.
Yeah!
Right.
Oh, yes!
They were doing exactly what they wanted to. Oh, we hate you. They really did hate him.
Amen.
They really did want to say, curse him and flog him and beat him. They wanted to see him suffer and in pain. See, they were wicked and doing what they wanted to do, but God had already written exactly what they would do.
Oh, yes.
And it was in the Word. Jesus had to prepare his heart to receive the abuse that they were pouring out, because he knew that that's what the Father has written in his Word. That's what the Holy Spirit said. So we can do the same thing. We don't have to have it our way all the time. I know Burger King says you can have it your way. But we don't have to have it our way. I'd rather have it his way.
That's right.
Because I know he's going to come through with all the blessings that he promised.
All the time.
So Ezra knew that. He said, this is a time of difficulty, but I can see the Lord is moving us back closer to him again. He wants us to come back and do right. He wants us to come back and worship right. He wants us to come back and treat each other right. He wants us to come back and be an example to the folks who don't know him. He wants us to come back and do good and make people go, boy, look at how God is blessing them. Wow. Oh, look at how they're being blessed.
Hallelujah.
Because he had done it before.
Yeah.
Solomon's temple was the pomp of the whole world.
Yes, it was.
The queen of Ethiopia, Sheba, they said, came out to see the temple. She had heard about it.
Yep.
And when she got there and saw it all for herself, she said, well, not even half has been told. This is even more glorious than I thought.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what the Lord did. He escalated Solomon to a place where people knew about it everywhere, all over the planet. You know what? They didn't have one cell phone, one TV, one radio.
Right.
They had nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
And everybody on the planet knew Walmart is a place up in Jerusalem. You gotta go and see it.
Yep.
Right. And folk came from the ends of the earth as far as they could get there just to see it.
Yeah.
It was so glorious.
Wow.
But the glory was to God who blessed him and gave it to him. So folks, think about this now. Ezra had fixed his heart on the purpose of God, the purposes of God, and therefore was able to overlook all the obstacles, the traps, evil plotting against his course to move in the direction that God wanted him to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He could overlook all that.
Oh, yes.
I already know there's going to be difficult.
That's right.
Jesus prepared the church same way. He says, I'm going to go back. He says, but let not your hearts be troubled. He said, basically, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world. So I'm sending you out. There's going to be trouble, but I'm going to be with you in the trouble. I'm going to take you through the trouble. I'm going to make you shine like gold right in the middle of the trouble. I'm going to make you impervious to everything the enemy tries to do to you. I'm going to give you victory as you keep on walking and trusting me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even Marvin Gaye was listening to this. Now y'all say, the pastor, listen to Marvin Gaye.
Yep.
He says, only three sure things: taxes, death, and trouble.
Because
he was a trouble man.
Trouble
that's
man.
What he said.
Right.
That what he said. I'm not too old for some of y'all. It went back too far. But he said these three things are for sure: taxes, death, and trouble.
Yeah.
See, that's the way the world is.
That's right.
But you know, God said, I have overcome death.
Yes.
I have overcome the grave.
Yeah.
I got power over sickness. I got power over disease.
Mama.
I got power over any kind of a trouble you might have.
Yeah.
And if I say it, it's going to be so.
Yeah.
I can make your enemy pay your bills.
That's right. Oh, I know that's real.
That's right.
Don't make no difference.
Look out, man.
Everything is mine.
Yeah.
So it don't make no difference what they doing with it and how it looks.
Okay.
It might look to you one way, but God can flip that whole thing 180.
Oh, I know he would.
At the bat of an eye.
Yeah.
You can trust him. If you just trust him, you're going to see it.
That's it.
Okay, so I wanted you to see Ezra. He was a person in that circumstance. Now here, look at Luke
this is really fascinating to me, because this is the Son of God before he was crucified. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit.
Yep.
He knows what's coming up.
Yes, he does.
He realizes what's just ahead of him.
Amen.
And he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things. This was some teaching he was doing, from the wise and prudent, people who think they know a lot.
Yep.
And hast revealed them unto these babes, folk who don't know very much. You see that? And so it seemed good in thy sight. So God can take what you know, however much it is,
right,
and turn it into a blessing. And he can reveal something to you you would never know.
That's right.
No matter how much education you had, he can give that knowledge to you so you can trust him. This is not a preaching against education.
That's right.
By any means. Get as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to understand world things and things in this life,
right,
real life situations and problems, you're going to need the revelation of God.
That's right.
To be able to see through what's going on.
That's right.
The smoke screen of the devil and the way he has control on the world is a real thing.
Yes, it is.
And it's oppressive.
Yes, it is.
It's oppressive. Don't you get tired of turning on the news and hear all kind of negative drama?
All the time.
How are we going to make it through this? You know, and sometimes it knocks on your own door.
That's right. Oh, I know it will.
But God says, I'm with you all the time.
Always.
Whether it's a time of prosperity, a time of trouble, a time of sickness, a time of health, no matter what it is, I'm with you.
Yes.
And the question is, are we with him?
Yes. That's right.
But Jesus rejoiced, it says here, in spirit. He knows he got a cross coming up in front of him. I'm going to go to the cross and bear the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I got time to rejoice and give God praise.
Yeah.
In the midst of it, you are the, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things. He said, people who are not seeking him, they have a barrier. They cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Right.
That which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Right.
Marvel not that I said unto thee,
mm-hmm,
you must be born again. So he's rejoicing that God has given some people a new birth.
Marvel.
And they can see through the situation they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the wise and prudent don't even understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's over their heads. Isaiah wrote all about it. We'll talk about that too in a minute. All things are delivered to me of my Father. See that? The whole authority of everything God owns was given to the Son.
Yes.
And no man man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. That's because he's equal to God, and we really can't even comprehend the fullness of God. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yes.
There's a tightness between the Son and the Father that nobody can know.
Mm-hmm.
Except who the Son reveals him to.
Right.
So in other words, Jesus is going to teach you how to understand God, the Father.
Yes, he is.
He's going to help you know God the Father in a personal way.
That's
right. See, people who think, well, you know, they got their high mind about everything, or they might be blinded by finances or whatever it is. Sometimes things in this world can blind you from seeing what you need to see.
Yes, it will.
And so, but you know what? Those who know the Lord,
right,
as we said, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, I'm going to keep you going.
Yeah.
Keep trusting me. Keep walking in me.
Yes.
Don't pay any attention to the smoke screen all around you.
I know that, right.
You know what? Job did it.
Yeah.
Look what he went through. One of the most gruesome stories in the Bible of affliction on one person, one human being.
Yes.
And everybody's going to, hey, you know, they try to make it his fault. But God took him through. He told the devil, when Job comes through, he's going to be like gold tried by fire.
Mm.
Pure gold.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All the dross is going to be gone.
Yeah.
And he has faith. He's a man of faith.
Yeah.
And faith is stronger than everything.
Yeah.
Faith is power over everything.
Yeah.
When you have faith, it can move mountains, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like a grain of mustard seed.
Wow.
You don't have to have much faith.
Yeah.
Just a little faith is power.
Yeah.
See? And it'll take you through any situation you have to deal with.
Yes.
And without faith, it's impossible
to
please God.
Right.
For those who come to God must know that he is and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them to diligently seek him. So Jesus said, I reveal the Father to these. That's why they are the way they are, and that's why I can rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned unto his disciples. See this, and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. This is the same thing that Peter says. He says that the prophets of old long to look into these things, and the angels don't even understand them. But God has given those who trust in Christ understanding, a supernatural ability to understand what God is doing, and have a peace that, like a river, is what Isaiah says. It just keeps on flowing. I'm always fascinated by the river, y'all know, and I ain't scared of it. At the same time, the river freaks me out, because the thing about it, every time you go down there and cross the bridge, there's another set of water that you have never seen. It's new all the time. It's flowing, and it's never the same river. Wait 1 minute, and it's a whole other river under that bridge, because that water keeps on moving, and it's some more water coming from somewhere else. It's new every time you see it. See, and God says, I'm going to give you peace like that. Every time you, and whatever you're going through, I got some new peace. Every morning I got some new mercy. Every day I'm going to wake you up and bless you with my presence. If you just keep trusting me. See, and the prophets, they wanted to know, what is all this here about Messiah? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. By his stripes we're here. What, Isaiah's going, what is he talking about here? He didn't get it, but the disciples, by the Holy Spirit, understood that he was the Christ. It was talking about the Messiah.
Amen.
See that? A lot of stuff they learned, people had known for years, but they didn't understand it. It all applies to Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's coming to fulfill it. He said, I didn't come to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise fail, mm-hmm, until all of this is fulfilled. And Jesus came to fulfill it.
Right.
So in order for us to become the best for Christ, we must continually keep aware of the fact that only God is able to provide revelation through the Holy Spirit to direct the internal and external development of believers, especially the ones who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
See, that's the big thing I want to say to you. God is going to unfold everything. You might be fearful when you see the Israelites coming back into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a sign. Jesus said, watch the fig tree, which is a national symbol of Israel.
Yeah.
When it puts forth its leaves, you know the summer is nigh.
Uh-huh.
The time is coming. It's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been there all those generations from 70 AD all the way up until now. It's 70 years after they went back into the land.
Uh-huh.
And that number 7 is a special number with God.
Yes, it is.
70 years. And do you think those politicians and all those people know that this is God's time clock, and it's ticking right on time, right in your face, even though you don't believe Jesus is the Christ? The Jews, most of them don't believe he's the Messiah.
That's right. Yep.
Those who are coming back in the land, there's a whole lot of Jews who are saved and they're part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, some of them can see. Some of it has been a judicial blindness that God put on them because they crucified his son.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But all who believe in him, no matter who they are, and this is the decree of the church, it doesn't make any difference who you are, Jew or Greek.
Mm-hmm.
That means a Jew or Gentile.
Yep.
In other words, if anybody not a Jew is a Gentile.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in the whole family of humanity, whoever believes in the Son will not perish, will have everlasting life. That's God's decree to the world. That's the flagship message of the church. And I know a lot of times the gospel is pressed to the back. And we'll hear about that, those of you who are able to make it to New Prospect. We have a message picking up from where this one left off.
Yeah.
Amen. So I hope you can make it.
Amen.
But in either case, we want to be the best for Christ.
The best.
So how do we do that? We keep on trusting him. You got to study. You got to pray. And don't let this be a burden or something difficult for you. It ought to be your joy. It should be your joy. I love coming to church. I set aside whatever. I don't care. And I don't schedule nothing. I told them when I worked at the airport, do not put me on Sunday. Because I know you got some folk here that don't care about Sunday. Put them on them. And if the place fall in, then I'll come in and relieve them after church.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a problem, call them in because they don't want to come worship. But I do, and I just let them know.
Yeah.
You know, and I got by with that because God made it possible.
Yeah.
See, I didn't do it the whole 30 years. I had to earn my dues.
Yeah.
Pay some dues, as they say, during those first years.
Yeah.
As soon as I got where I had enough investment in the company, I said, okay, that's it for me on that.
Yeah.
You know, don't schedule me on Sunday. I will not be here.
Yeah.
Don't even call me because my phone is not even on. And I'm not going to hear it.
Yeah.
But I shut it off because I got another line I'm listening
yeah.
to here. Look, they used to say, call him up.
Yeah.
Call him up. And tell him what you want. That's what I'm listening for.
Amen.
And so to become the best, we got to look at our devotion, look at ourselves, examine ourselves. That's what Paul said. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. If you're here today, you happen to be not saved, we want to let you know God wants you to be saved.
Oh, yes, he does.
He gave his son, allowed him to go through all that, centered him in time so it would be easy for you to believe in him. Because this whole world is centered around Jesus.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference what people say. How is the world configured? It's configured around Jesus. It's 2018 years since his birth. Boy, that's quite a credential to me. Y'all hear me talking about it all the time. Y'all who come here all the time. But it's quite a credential. No one else has such a credential.
Yeah.
The world's counting seconds. Every second on that clock is another second past the time Jesus came. And we see time is getting close now. Because things the Bible says are coming into the very news, they're in there all the time.
Yep.
And it says in the Bible they'll be saying peace and safety in the end. And sudden destruction will come upon them like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, they're going to be saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know what? There have been hundreds and hundreds of peace treaties in the past several years. You know how many of them they've kept?
None.
There's still wars and rumors of wars, just like it says in the Bible. So the Bible's accurate. It's perfect. People don't want to hear it, though. They think, well, how can you say it's perfect? It is. It's the word of God. I didn't say it was perfect. Psalms, the psalmist said, the Lord is perfect. And that's what I believe. You have to believe what God said.
That's right.
A lot of people trying to say, I was reading some foolishness, and I'm just going to say this, and I'll get back to my invitation. There was at least three people who wrote the book of Isaiah. There was a proto-Isaiah, and then there's Deutero-Isaiah, and there's Deuto-Isaiah. I said, well, you know what? Jesus didn't believe that. Every time he quoted, he said, Isaiah said, period. All through the whole New Testament. So my choice is, do I believe you people want to redact the Bible, or do I believe the person who is the author of the Bible? The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith, right?
Yes.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. His mission was successful.
Because
he came through, he was born, he borrowed a womb, and he was born for 9 months, and then he borrowed a tomb for 3 days and three nights. And got up with all power. Who else has done that?
No one else.
See, you don't have any doctors that can do anything about that.
Yeah.
See, he gave sight to the blind. Folk never had seen. Told them to see, and they came see. He put back withered hands that was withered away. He put an ear back that was cut off with a sword. Nobody did that but Jesus. See, that's why the world's configured around him no matter what people say. So all I can say to you is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. Do I understand all that? No, I don't. But God said it and I believe it. That's good enough. So I trust him. He said, if you trust in me and you believe in me, I give you eternal life. It's a free gift. You know what? I don't deserve eternal life, but I have it.
No one did that.
No one deserves eternal life. But God says, I know y'all don't have a hope if I don't do something about it. And I love you so much, I'm going to do it. So he did. He sent his son. And whoever trusts him, that's the only thing you need. When you do that, he will move into you.
Oh, yes, he will.
Take up residence in you.
Yes, he will.
He'll wake you up every day and bless you with more understanding about who he is. And he will guide you through the rest of your life. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's how you become the best for Christ. Amen. So you start off by being saved,
And if you want to be saved, it's for you. The Holy Spirit is calling you right now. Trust and believe. If you believe him, let's just pray a prayer. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We know you want everyone to be saved. And sometimes we have resistance in our own spirit because we don't understand it. But you made it plain today, Father, that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, and you raised him out of the grave. And you have given the decree to the world, the good news message that the church is to preach to the end of time until you return, that you so loved the world you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And believe that you have raised him from the dead. Father, we know you did because you have given us witness in our spirit that Jesus lives right now. And he is soon coming back. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Save somebody today, Father, in the room that needs to be saved and know it for sure. Because you have given it so that anybody, even a little child, can hear the message and be saved. We thank you right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Give God a praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We want to offer you fellowship with the church. Maybe you are saved and you want to be a member. Here at St. Timothy, we extend the opportunity to you right now to unite with us. You may do that right now. Just come forward and let us know that's your desire. We'd be happy to receive you. Amen. If you want to come to Christ, come right now or come become a member of St. Timothy. We ask you to come right now. This is your time. Amen. You don't need to leave and not have that perfect, precious business taken care of.
That's right.
Amen. And just for the record, I also want to go on record saying that we want need the deacons to prepare the water of baptism next Sunday for Brother Tate.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say that on record officially. Prepare to be baptized. If there's anyone else that needs to be baptized, let us know before you leave today.
Amen.
So we can put you on the schedule also. Amen. So we've done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We hope you got a good word from the message. Amen.